roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz. Ari's co-host. What's up, Goz?
What up, Holmes? Happy 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, you too. We had a good time. We saw a lot of fireworks. We had some good barbecues because we had so much yesterday that we had leftovers today. And it was really, really nice weekend. Vegas brings it, man, when it comes to fireworks. And actually, when it comes to just 4th of July, you see a lot of red, white, and blue and a lot of like that patriotic spirit, I guess, aside from just the fireworks. Just you'll see a lot of people having their flags outside their homes.
Don't get mad at us. We did it from the safety of our car. We just drove around and kind of
participate, man. You could get one of those monster block parties. Remember those boxes? One of them was called Block Party.
Mm-hmm. It was $100, right, back in the day. Something. Who knows how like much that. It is now.
Yeah, the Block Party would be a joke. It'd be like you bringing sparklers to these maniacs out in the desert that just have their own Disneyland fireworks show, honestly. Or pick your baseball team or whoever has their fireworks show on 4th of July. That's what Vegas is, except times 100. It's crazy, man. I think it's dangerous, honestly. But we were just driving around having a good time. And we hope all of you had a good time as well and that you're all safe. And, of course, still staying away from the Rona. It's out there. It didn't take the day off. That's for sure. Just ask Gilbert Burns, and we'll definitely talk about that. That kind of sounds like a terrible joke, but no, listen, he's already on the road to recovery. We got to discuss that. Gilbert Burns is out of UFC 251. Folks, we're catching up from last Thursday, all right? We have some other sad news to share. I can't remember if we shared it on Thursday's show or not, but we'll cover a death in the MMA family. Also, another fight that was off and then on. And then guess what, folks? Jorge Masvidal steps in to fight Kamaru Usman as Gilbert Burns and his team fight COVID-19. Three infections on his team. So we'll do that. And we'll talk to Danny Segura, who's got some big news that he wants to deliver to the MMA Junkie family. So we'll catch up with him on that news and, of course, get his opinion on this new main event for UFC 251. So buckle up, folks. Here we go. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a Sunday night edition. It's July 5th.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. Featuring For the Wins, Steven Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Goz. So let's just do a chronological order. And we're going to start off on a sad note, and then we'll pick up as we go. I just can't remember if on our Thursday show we had discussed. No, we didn't. Okay, Goz is shaking his head. Condolences to Khabib Nurmagomedov, his family. His extended friends, family. You know how close that team is out in Dagestan. His father, Abdulmanap, passed away at the age of 57. Man, that's 7 years older than me, man. Mm-hmm. And so his father was his head coach, and his father was coach to other fighters like Islam Makhachev, Rustam Khabibov, and many others that are in the UFC, PFL, just basically having tons of success all over the sport. Never got to meet the man, but if you watched him interact with his son and you watch people talk about him, he just seemed like a gentle bear. You know, everybody talks about Habib and how he used to train with a bear and all that when he was younger. His dad just kind of seemed like a big teddy bear, you know, who obviously had some skills to teach, but he seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah, you don't get to see, there have been a few of those father-son combinations in combat sports.
The Thompsons.
The Mayweathers.
Yeah.
There's been a few, but this one just seems special because
Jordan Mean.
Yeah. A lot of the ones that you see at some point have some sort of break. Right. And you didn't really see this with Habib. They just seem really, really tight. And of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to their family. It's a tough time right now in the world. And on top of that, to have this happen just sucks.
It started off as pneumonia. He was induced into a coma twice. He contracted the COVID-19. He had a heart attack. Think about how tough this man was to overcome all that. And he was almost pulling through. And then eventually... we heard that he passed away on Thursday. So, yeah, like Ghost said, thoughts and prayers to that family. And I, from what I can tell, from what I've been hearing, Habib, you know, had been training, even though when his father was fighting for his life, because he had said that that's what his father would want. So how that will impact, you know, everybody grieves differently. And, but I would think that Habib still fighting sometime this year is more than likely what he would want to do, to because it's, he'll probably say that that's probably what his father would do, and I would honestly agree with that. So all right, now then, as the third, which was Thursday or Friday, plays out, we then get other news. Carla Esparza and Marina Rodriguez is off because of COVID-19. Neither one of the ladies was infected. It was one of the cornermen in Marina Rodriguez's camp. So I looked at that and said, that sucks, man. You know how much I love the strawweight division. And these two ladies are solid. So they're up there. I was looking forward to it. Then later on, it gets worse. Goes Gilbert Burns. He is out against Kamaru Usman. We find out him, one of his coaches, and what we thought was his brother, but turned out to be Wagner Rocha. And I believe the coach is Greg Jones, the wrestling coach over at Sanford MMA, which is, that's the team that has a head coach of Henry Hoof. It formerly was the Brazilian, the Black Zillion, excuse me. So now they're out of Sanford MMA. And we're thinking, oh boy, you know, now Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal, they started hitting the social media, but honestly, I just thought this, it's too late. You know, that they all left on a plane goes on Friday, and neither Kamaru Usman nor Gilbert Burns hopped on that plane. And I just thought, well, the reason they're all hopping on a plane is because it's a long trek to the Middle East. John Morgan's still recovering. I think he went 4 days straight without sleeping, then he slept the next 30 hours. But, you know, and get this, and I'll update everybody, but everything's staying the same. On Saturday, UFC 251, I'm sorry to segue ahead, but on Saturday, UFC 251, where Goz and I will be hosting a watch-along on Sportscaster, I just continue the segues, they're going to start at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. Did you know, Goz, that that show over there, I think, is going to be 3 to 9 a.m. or something like that?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? I mean,
can,
like,
you imagine that?
That's fucked up for the fans over there. I mean, unless that's how they get down in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. I mean,
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you why.
All to preserve the pay-per-view. Like, I think they could have done it differently.
No.
You like it that way?
Yes. Okay. And I'm going to tell you why. All you young pups don't know about Pride.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what we used to have to go through to watch a Pride show. Just let alone getting the Pride show, then staying up, sometimes even after powering through a whole UFC. If you're a hardcore MMA fan, you're going to laugh about it the next day. You're just going to go, man, that was a crazy night.
Us.
But
it's,
boy,
it's
it was
them.
Fun. Yeah, them.
Yeah, them.
But they're going to laugh about it because they're going to say, man, that was a crazy night. But you know what? It was worth it because we love this stuff. Because that's how we react.
It'd be easier to
reacted.
Stay awake if you're at the fight, I imagine.
Right, yeah, I would imagine.
On the beach. Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but they got to watch it like everyone else.
Yeah, and so what sucks for the fighters is when they get there, This is what fighters have told us. I've heard it a million, not a million, but 100 times at least. When I get there, all I try and do is stay awake until it's time to go to bed. If I have to skip rope and break a sweat and walk the town or whatever. And they want to defeat jet lag on day one. But when they get there, they don't want to do that. They want to stay on North America time. So they're basically going to be awake at night and asleep during the day. Which is going to match what their body clock is telling them. It's just that over there, you got to pull the curtain shut at that hotel they're staying at, you know, so that you can get your Z's. Now, granted, it's not going to be a typical hotel where there's all kinds of tourists and little kids running around or nothing like that. I think it's going to be probably easier to overcome, perhaps. I don't know. But that's what they signed up for. And so now let me go in reverse here. We find this out Friday night. The first chartered plane left Friday night without Gilbert Burns or Kamaru Usman. It left with Rose Namajunas, John Morgan, probably some Nevada State Athletic Commission officials, probably some UFC staff, probably some other fighters. You know, I don't know. I think there's another plane that's going up on Monday. Now, that one's going to include Masvidal and Usman. But on Friday night, when they left with it, without that, those two. So I thought it was going to be Holloway and Volkanovski. Mm-hmm. Well, what did the UFC do? They went to work. Now, listen, Dana White gets shit on a lot. And I'm not going to deny that I haven't ever disagreed with what he does. But one thing he said recently, and he did it this weekend, is when bad stuff happens, me and my team try to attack it and fix it and do whatever it takes. Well, he did, because they got Usman and Masvidal about 36 hours later. This was a Friday night thing, I believe. And then by Sunday morning, Masvidal, meaning today, Masvidal was already in Las Vegas. He had taken a plane from Miami to Las Vegas. So stupid that they have to come five and a half hours this way just so they can go like
it really isn't
12 though. Or 15 hours that
it's
way.
It's not, though.
Well, because of the whole charter jet thing.
Yeah. And which is part of what you're
couldn't
saying.
That charter jet land in Miami and then go that way? I mean, maybe, John Anik lives in Fort Lauderdale. I'm sure he would have appreciated that. And some of the others, you know, out east, Gilbert Burns, before he got COVID, I'm sure he would have appreciated to stay out there. So, I mean, I don't have the whole, I guess I do have the whole lineup right here, but I don't know where Volkanovski trains. Holloway's in Hawaii. He's okay. Aldo probably wouldn't mind chilling in Miami. Regardless.
But props to them for what they did, because if you go back to show number one in Florida, this probably wouldn't have gotten caught until they got to Fight Island.
Perhaps,
and then they would have said, oh my God, this guy? And who did he come
meaning
in contact
Jacare.
With?
Yeah.
Right. All that would have happened. That's a lesson the UFC learned. Mm-hmm. And now they did the testing before these guys even go. And look at everything they caught, right? So you got to give them the props. The way you're giving Dana White props, I got to give him props.
Yeah, I'm giving him props for solving it. Because he had to get on the phone and call Masvidal and go, hey, how you been? You know, because these guys were beefing online and, you know, 7 out of 8 fights left on your contract. And the other guy saying, hey, man, this is unfair. A monopoly. Hey, how you been?
Is that how you start the call off?
I think so.
I think what I do.
You're going to laugh your ass off.
I go, Jorge Santiago, man, what's going on? When he goes, nah, this is Masvidal. I go, oh, man, I'm so dumb. Hey, man, well, I got you on the line. Boom. Because you're right. You got to eat a little crow on this one because they've been beefing publicly.
Both sides, yeah, both sides. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Danny when we get him on. But look, the fight got done. And so I imagine that, they're both happy. Because they both agreed to the terms, and that's that. The UFC got their fight, and Masvidal probably got what he wanted, his payday. I don't know. So, now that's bumped up to the main event again, and Holloway and Volkanovski is still on. And I'm only saying it like that because there was a false report that it might be off. Now, of course, as soon as the show's over, there might be another report that says it's off. But no, we are hearing something about some fake accounts. And even Tapology had reacted and taken it off, but apparently the fight's still on, and then of course we got Peter Yan versus Jose Aldo. Now look, we can't control what happens between now and the next time you guys hear from us on Wednesdays, Sportscaster, noon, live, it's a show, it's video, we always have guests. Not always, but last 4 shows have had a guest. We can't control what happens between now and then. Again, pointing to John Morgan, I don't even know if he's been able to leave his room because they just go through this whole quarantine until there's a second test. He wants to get out there and take pictures of the octagon on the beach and kind of take a tour of Yas Island. And he's doing like a daily blog, I guess, a journal. And so that'll be interesting to read. But It's strict, folks, so we can't control what happens between now and then. Hopefully, the whole card stays intact.
Can we talk a little bit about that for a second? Mm-hmm. So here's the thing.
Yeah, I said a lot. So first Burns was out on Friday, then Masvidal comes in. So yeah, if anything you want to clean up on that, be my guest.
Well, when you think of Jorge Masvidal, obviously you got to think, well, what kind of shape is he in? He's going up against a monster. Kamaru Usman's no joke. He's got a tough style, a grind out style. He doesn't really seem to get very tired in fights. So if you're coming in to fight him, you better be very well prepared. The one thing you got to take in consideration is there's so many of these protocols that normally, just to say this fight was in 2018, Jorge Masvidal gets here. He's got some time. From the moment he takes his first test in Florida, he's quarantined, right? Until he takes that next flight out here in Vegas. Then that flight over there, just like John Morgan, he's got to go through that same thing where he's quarantined. So it's not like you could even say like, oh man, he's going off to the gym and doing this and trying to burn this. Like, he's got to stay this, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if they allow his coach to be in the same room or what, but he's got to stay in his room for a certain amount of time. That's tough to do, especially when you're trying to lose weight. Like, who knows what? I think he's in good shape because he's told us before that he stays in good shape, but there's weight cuts are a little bit more difficult, you know, especially when you're not even at home. You don't have the luxuries of give me this food, give me that. Now, he did say, as long as you have what?
He's Nutella happy. And white rice.
Yeah. So we'll see.
That was on his rider, he said. Uh-huh. Told us that back in April. Well, can I go back to that interview, actually?
Yeah.
To answer a few of your questions. In that interview, if you want to see it, folks, go to our Facebook page. It's simple. Facebook.com/MMA Junkie Radio. This was on April 11th of this year. So about 3 months ago. It was our 13-year anniversary show. We did it on a Saturday and we did it on Facebook. And Jorge Masvidal was our first guest. We talked to him for about 45 minutes. And we asked him, hey, man, this is back when UFC 249 was a possibility. Hey, what's all this? I'll step in and, you know, all that stuff going on. Because remember, that's when Khabib and Tony wasn't going to go down. And they were looking for either another main event. So we asked them possibilities if even he would fight Tony. And, you know, for a catch weight. And one thing we kind of cornered him on was, are those little social media things, are they bullshit or not? And he goes, no, I'm serious. I always stay in shape. I love to train. But here was the big one. Paulino Hernandez, his boxing coach, who's been with him for a long time, one of the ATT coaches, who also works with Andre Arlovsky and, you know, some of the other ATT guys. He says, I moved him in. When I bought my new house, I moved in my coach. And if it's the morning, afternoon, evening, or even 1 a.m., he said, and we want to train, we train. He goes, so I really am ready if they need me on short notice. Now, again, all this was applying to UFC 249 at the time. But I don't see how it wouldn't apply here. You know, he's still in a quarantine, but I think I've seen him come out. I've seen him a little more active on social media because he also said, my immune system isn't that good. So he was really scared. Remember he said the groceries would get dropped off and he'd clean them off, then bring them in. And mm-hmm. He was taking it serious. And Florida's been ravaged, you know. So I don't know how, you know, afterwards, this was three months ago, there was, you know, Florida started loosening things up. And that's why the Jacksonville shows really did happen. And who knows what. But anyhow, I think he won't be 100%. I'm not sure Kamaru Usman will. But Kamaru Usman was training up until Friday as he was fighting, you know, if he was going to be fighting either Masvidal or Burns. So I think Usman might be like 90 to 95%, which is what I would expect to any athlete that's training under the COVID-19 era and not having everything at their disposal. And I would say Masvidal's probably between 80 to 90. Except the good thing is Masvidal, now turning the whole subject to the weight, he's not a really, really big 170 guy. So I think he's always in the neighborhood to just hit that mark. So I don't think that'll be too much of an issue. Now, what sucks is all that flying. 5.5 hours this way, and then however long the flight is from here to there, it's got to be like 15 hours direct from here to Abu Dhabi, maybe 14 hours, something like that. I'll look it up. You get them swollen ankles and, geez, that's something else. And then, like you said, just chilling in the room, man. What do? Push-ups, check your social media. You're right. You can't really leave your room because they just have these coordinates. Now, maybe the main events get a little bit more of a expedited test result. Maybe the corner has a sweep. Maybe John Morgan doesn't have a sweep, but Jorge Masvidal does. You know, I could picture him sitting there like Tony Montana. Dude, we're MMA
junkie. You telling me John Morgan doesn't have a suite? You telling me he doesn't have the penthouse suite?
Well, he doesn't have what,
for Journalist of the Year.
He doesn't have what Masvidal has, though. I was about to say he's sitting there like Tony Montana with a cigar. You know how he was watching the Pelicans yeah. in the jacuzzi? But of course, I don't think he'd be smoking cigars this close. Like, well, you never know with Jorge. Maybe ordering a Big Mac. But I think that's what we're going to get is someone who's as close to about 85% versus someone that's 95%. Who knows? I mean, they're always banged up and injured and, you know. Now, the good thing is Jorge didn't have to think about this for the last 2-3 months. Kamaru did. Kamaru had to think, oh, man, am I getting Masvidal? Am I getting Covington? Am I getting Edwards? Oh, what? It's Burns? It's my opponent? Hold on a second. We're in the same team. Oh, I don't have Henry Hooft as my coach. That's a good question. Is Henry now going to be in Kamaru Usman's corner?
Good question.
You know? And so then he takes his camp to Colorado. So think about that mindfuck. You know, so on the physical side, let's give him a 95 and a Jorge maybe an 85. But on the mental side, Jorge's been, you know, chilling. And Kamaru's had to go through a lot. Maybe he comes in a little bit more focused, I guess, on the mental side. I don't know. And we'll never know. That's why we just tune in and watch. Again, a quick reminder, UFC 251 watch along, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on Saturday night. Be there with Goz and I. On Sportscaster, there's a chat room, and we'll be hanging, watching the fights with you guys, whether you order the pay-per-view or not. Speaking of Sportscaster, we'll also be there on Wednesdays for our normal Wednesdays on Sportscaster, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Check us out. Now, I mentioned that Rodriguez and Esparza was off. Remember that on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes after Usman and Masvidal was announced, that fight was back on.
For the 27th?
25th.
25th?
This is what the UFC was able to do. It was originally scheduled for the 15th. They picked it up and said 10 days later, we're going to fight because they can. They have that ability to do that. So it's not on the 15th, but it's on the 25th. So the fight's going to happen. How they were able to deal with the whole cornerman issue, I don't know. Maybe Marina had to go through a series of tests and maybe leave that coach behind. I don't know, but we know that the UFC is taking it serious because they don't want to get other infections. And we know how that thing can spread. At this point, I trust that the UFC is making top-notch decisions when it comes to that protocol.
They have to because, you know what? They're the leader right now in that. They are the leader in the sports world in that.
It looks silly when Jacare and Verdum were up close to each other on that Instagram. Mm-hmm. But I think since then, I think they've kind of cleaned it up a little bit. Hell, do you remember when Ezekiel Elliott was at Dak Prescott's party and they were all together and they kept showing all that food? I mean, if I was on the Cowboys, I'd be like, the fuck? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But this is the Cowboys. You expect behavior like that.
And Ezekiel Elliott was involved. You should hear Stephen A. Smith's meltdown. Why is Ezekiel Elliott always, anytime something stupid is taking place and it involves the Dallas Cowboys, you won't lose a bet if you say, I bet you Ezekiel Elliott was in the middle of it. Hilarious stuff. So, I don't know, man. We went through a lot this weekend with fights on and off.
Oh, yeah.
But
tons of fight announcements.
Yeah. I mean, it's all going down, man. It's all good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks. So, now it's time to bring in our colleague, Danny Segura. Junkie Nation, as promised, we got a special guest, our colleague over at MMA Junkie on the east side in Brooklyn, New York, Danny Segura, who's got some news he wants to share with our audience. He is now on the hotline. What's going on, Danny? How you doing? Did you have a nice Independence Day weekend?
I did. Tons of fireworks around here, so that's been nonstop. Maybe you guys might hear some in the background. Who knows? But yes, great weekend and excited to be joining you guys.
Yeah, and speaking of fireworks, how about the latest addition to UFC 251, which takes place on Saturday at Yas Island? We lost Gilbert Burns versus Kamaru Usman. MMA Junkie broke that on Thursday night, I believe. And about 48 hours later, we hear that Jorge Masvidal has stepped in and he will be fighting Kamaru Usman like it should have been, like it was supposed to happen, honestly. No disrespect to Gilbert Burns, but Jorge Masvidal had earned that shot. Of course, we all know he couldn't come to an agreement with the UFC. Well, guess what? They came to an agreement. Both sides needed each other. Danny Segura, react to the big news.
Yes, it's crazy. I mean, this is probably one of the best bookings the UFC has ever put together on late notice. I mean, you could argue that it's even more exciting and it's a bigger fight than, you know, the Burns versus Usman bout. So it's crazy to think that they managed to pull this off. You think that Masvidal, who was kind of, you know, had a public sort of feud going on with the UFC, it seemed like, you know, there wasn't going to be any resolvement, at least anytime soon. But they came to terms. It looks like it's all good. And, yeah, we're getting Usman versus Masvidal here just, you know, a few days from now. So pretty exciting stuff. Huge fight.
Danny, Gilbert Burns, he's been on a little bit of a roll, but I don't know that he has the popularity of a guy like Jorge Masvidal. Do you feel that just in adding Jorge Masvidal, the UFC, how many more pay-per-views do you think they would sell just in adding that name?
100%. I mean, it's going to go up. Jorge Masvidal is one of the top stars in the UFC today. So it's by far, you know, a pretty big pay-per-view already set, and now it's even bigger. So I think it's going to be good business for the UFC, and Jorge Masvidal has been on quite a run, and right now he's one of the most popular fighters in combat sports. So it's definitely going to crank up the pay-per-view buys, and I'm sure a lot of those are going to be coming from Miami.
I'm going to ask both of you guys this question, but if you're a fly on the wall in that room with him and his agent, do you guys feel like this was sort of a slam dunk for Jorge Masvidal, or did you think he took some time? Now let's take money out of the equation. Just the simple, are you in shape, ready to fight for a title? Was it a slam dunk for Jorge Masvidal? Let's start with you, Danny.
That's a good question. Who knows? I think it was, because, look, Masvidal, we know that with the few things that he's shown in the last few weeks and the way he's handled this whole thing, he's not scared of being vocal. He'll go out there and talk his truth and you know, basically talk about what he's worth, and he's not scared of bringing up numbers, statistics, and stuff like that. So he doesn't come across to me as a guy that's willing to settle for any less than he thinks he deserves. So, you know, the UFC needed somebody to fight Usman. Obviously, he's still a big name, like we just mentioned. I think he's going to be a big draw and bump up those pay-per-view buys for this upcoming weekend. So yeah, I think, you know, all chips were in favor of Masvidal. You know, one of the reasons why Masvidal got skipped in the first place was because they did have a plan B, but with no plan B in mind, you know, I'm certain that Masvidal had a good amount of leverage going into a negotiation.
You've been around Masvidal a lot, George. What do you think? Do you think it was a slam dunk for that guy, or do you think he sat around and maybe talked to his coaches a little bit?
Well, you got to remember, guys, he played poker about a month ago, and it didn't work out, I should say, because the UFC said, oh, okay, we can't agree with the terms with you, then we're going with Gilbert Burns. And so on the one hand, I want to believe that he did get what he wanted because he had the leverage. The UFC obviously wanted to continue with having Usman on the card, and there wasn't much time left. It's not like they could say, hey, get Leon Edwards on the other line, because I think Leon Edwards was pretty clear about why he wasn't fighting either. And then you get to Covington, who you can never tell if he's really serious or not. So I want to say Masvidal, you know, it was probably a slam dunk to come around. But once you play poker and say no and they go in another direction, well, guess what? It's not like there's a consolation prize. He may have also been sitting there going, damn, like did I just get too aggressive in these last few weeks and did I miss out? And so now am I just recovering what was going to be mine? Anyway, see, that's where you said it goes. I would love to have been on the fly on the wall. But I think because of the leverage, I think Masvidal came out winning, probably got what he originally wanted and was good with that. I don't know that it was necessarily a raise or anything too crazy. You know, I'm just wondering if they tore up the old contract and just went with this.
Me too.
And if they're just going to go one at a time going forward. Like, was he able to do all that? Or was he able to just agree on what's, I guess, the second of eight fights, at least according to Dana White's timeline? I don't know. Maybe the guys down there, John Morgan, all the other media can corner him on that one. But, yeah, that was a good question, Goose. All right. Danny, listen. We got some news that we want to share with the Junkie audience, the Junkie Nation audience, excuse me. And of course, I'd like you to do that. So on July 27th, we're going to have an addition to the audio and video side of MMA Junkie, and you're going to spearhead it. Tell everybody the big news, Danny Segura. What's happening? What's dropping on 7/27?
So yes, big news over at MMA Junkie. We're going to be launching a Spanish podcast. This will be 100% in Spanish, and obviously covering all the news and everything going on in the world of mixed martial arts with a focus on the Latin American scene. So I'm pretty excited about it. This is something I've been wanting to do for quite some time, and something I feel very passionate about. And yeah, we're going to be launching the 27th. So, you know, fairly short. And yeah, it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and hoping to bring a new type of coverage to the Latin American scene.
Mira eso, heavy duty. I like that announcement. I'm really, really happy for you, brother, because this has kind of been a thing that has been talked about behind the scenes for a few months now, probably at least 3 to 6 months, somewhere in that pocket. I'm sure you might have even had some other conversations beforehand. So I'm glad that now that we're kind of getting back to a little bit of normalcy, you know, not just with the sport, but obviously our way of covering mixed martial arts. We're still waiting for Invicta and Bellator and PFL and everybody else, you know, to give us a full slate of events, full slate of news. But the UFC is pretty big. You know, it's the meat and potatoes of what we cover on MMA Junkie. So we're happy for you, man, that it's gonna come about here after this run of four fights at Yas Island. There'll be a lot to talk about. Can you give us a little bit of the skinny? Are you gonna have like an interview format? Are you gonna just cover the news, or is that something you're still building?
Yeah, no. So everything is set, and you know, more details will come as we get closer to the date. But yes, expect a lot of reaction and analysis on events that happened over the weekend. This will be, by the way, this will be a weekly podcast that will be released every Monday. And yeah, expect analysis of events that happened over the weekend. Also, I will have a guest on the show, so we're going to have, you know, Spanish-speaking fighters and everyone involved in the Latin American scene, from coaches to experts, analysts, fighters themselves, etc. So, yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it, but more details will be coming as we get closer to the date.
Yeah, you know what? I think the editor just slipped me a note. They're telling me that 7/27, you've already got a nice guest lined up to kick things off. So, man, we're really, really excited for you. And you know, you let us know if you need a couple of amigos on, you know, we'll let you get going, man. But if you ever need us, nosotros también hablamos español, amigo.
Aquí estamos para usted,
para sus servicios.
Claro. Ahí les mando la invitación. But yes, for sure, we'll have you on at some point. You guys obviously are OGs of the game. And it would be an honor for me to have you guys on the podcast. So, yeah, very much looking forward to it. Remember, guys, it will come out the 27th on a Monday, and it's called Hablemos MMA.
Hablemos MMA. I love it. And, folks, you can follow Danny on Twitter, or sorry, on all his social media platforms, actually, at Danny Segura TV. Check out his Insta. He's on Facebook. And, of course, he's got his YouTube channel where he hosts some weekly chats. And he's always loading up content. So check him out over there as well. And, of course, on MMA Junkie, he's one of our hires from 2019 that has put us back in that position where, once again, we're nominated for the World MMA Awards. And I got to shout out the crew, man, that we assembled in 2019. Farah Hanoun, Nolan King, Simon Head, who was kind of with us for a while, kind of on a contributor basis, and now he's more of a fixture. So I'm really, really happy for everybody, the whole team, and of course Danny, you've been a great addition, man.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
All right, well, listen, you stay safe out there in New York. Go watch some fireworks. I'm sure there's some crazies out there that are still unloading and finishing out them boxes of fireworks, and of course we'll be rapping with you throughout the week. Can't wait for this fight card, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot to talk about. Well, that was a fun chat. Some good news for the Junkie family.
Pretty cool, right? That's that MMA Junkie Radio carries. Oh, that's a name that carries a lot of value. Mm-hmm. So we don't just pick anyone to take that.
Hablemos MMA, man. That's going to be awesome. So congrats again to Danny Segura. And I think we should just bring him on every show goes until its launch. Sounds you know like what I mean? Plan. And so we can keep promoting it. Because I think the more you put it in people's in front of their eyes and in their ears, the more that they'll remember to get in there and subscribe and support. And Junkie Nation is really, really strong when it comes to that. And I think they've had almost a year's worth of Danny's work on the site to see that homeboy, you know, he knows what's up. And he did very well for himself over there at MMA Fighting. And now he's been with us for almost a year, along with, like I mentioned there, Nolan, Farah, and Simon Head. And, man, I'm telling you, folks, you know, Dan Stupp, Ben Folks, Fernanda Prates, you know, those were good friends of ours for many years. We were all, you know, together. So when them three, along with, can't forget the magnificent one, Steve Morocco, you know, mm-hmm. everybody started kind of going on in different directions. Obviously, we wished them well, still in contact. But I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if we would be able to just plug some new faces in. And I think the editorial team did a great job.
We got a good balance of veterans, up-and-comers, superstars. It's fun. It's a fun group.
Yeah. And so, again, we're nominated for Best Media Source. Folks, we would love it if you went in there and give us your vote for the World MMA Awards. So check it out. We, along with The Athletic, ESPN MMA,
MacLife,
SureDog, and MacLife. Yeah, MMA Fighting did not get in, and they're the defending champs. I don't agree with that. You know, look, not the enemy, but they're the defending champs. They're our rivals, but something doesn't sound right there. But whatever, we're in, and that's all I can say. And like we always say, if you don't vote for us, fine, we'll take it. But go out and vote. Go out and vote. Make your voice heard. Help make that show successful, because that show is really, really trying. Every year they have a great show, and it's a fun time. It's one of my favorite nights of the year. And win or lose, we show up and see everybody in the industry, and everybody forgets about the whole rivalry, and even fighters that have fought before go out and have a good time. Did I ever tell you when I was talking to Israel Adesanya, and sitting across was Calvin Gastelum from the opposite end of the bar?
No.
And they were texting each other, and Izzy goes, wait, where's Kelvin at? And then he looked up, and Kelvin was waving to him, and he texted something back, and I go, is it in good spirits? And he goes, oh, yeah. And they were just being respectful, you know, like, that's cool. I can't wait to do it again or something like that. But, yep. All right, I think we should get on out of here. It's a Sunday night. Enjoy whatever's left of the weekend. Some of you on opposite parts of the world, it's already Monday for you, so hopefully this lands on your lap earlier than usual. And do not forget that on Saturday, we have the Watch Along. We'll tell you more about it on Wednesday's Sportscaster show, Junkie Radio on Sportscaster, I should say. And then, of course, we'll have our Thursday show as well. So we'll continue giving you the reminders. In the meantime, folks, stay safe, stay sane, and go out there and be a champion.